I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. I welcome my colleague of many years, Harry Siegel, who writes a column for the New York Daily News. He's the op-ed editor at the Daily Beast. Harry's looking at a phenomenon, an unhappy phenomenon of these last days of the pandemic, attacks on the streets of New York or the New York area. In these particular attacks, the concern is anti-Asian attacks. Harry lists an attack at Home Depot in East New York against a young Asian man, an attack in Manhattan's Chinatown against a young Asian woman, an attack on the Upper West Side of Manhattan against a middle-aged Asian man, and in Brooklyn, an elderly Asian man shopping for groceries attacked. Some of these attacks took place in the subway, some on the street, some in daylight. However, we're looking at what appears to be a pattern. Is it? There's the question. Harry, a very good evening to you. Yes, the pattern is Asian, 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 Asian. But the explanation that I read in general is that there is a grave concern across this country of hatred, race hatred, and chiefly the concern is there is white race hatred. Does that explanation stand up for these attacks that you've illustrated in your column? Good evening to you, Harry.
Good evening, John. Hey, it's great to be on your new CBS show for the first time. Thank you, as always, for having me. And the short answer to your question is no, it does not. A lot of the attackers, from my informal count, and the NYPD does not track race or ethnicity here because people observe it differently, and you don't always have the people in hand to ask them. It looks like a majority of the attackers have been black. And the only people who seem to be bringing this up are racist, in my view. So say Be Dare and Tutu the Right have fixated on that narrative, whereas the progressive politicians in New York City want to rally against Trump, who, spoiler alert, I'm told is not actually president anymore. And as this is happening, and say that he's created the atmosphere in which this is happening. And looking at the attackers and the motives we know and the criminal records of the attackers we know about, that just doesn't seem to hold up.
So to make it this generality, then, the people of January 6th marched right to the streets of New York and started attacking Asians. That would suit the political explanations in New York. So let's push past that, because you have another narrative here, another explanation that is far more convincing, given my many decades in New York and in the epochs where New York streets run riot, and that is mental illness. Do any of the informed speak of the mental illness of these perpetrators? Do they speak of the problems of mental illness on the streets of New York?
There's been very little of that from the political class. I think because it's a difficult issue to deal with, and especially when you have a political class that is locked in on police reform, some of which I think is overdue, and I'm not sure policing the mentally ill is a terrific or entirely appropriate answer. But what you have instead are the mayor and other prominent local politicians just talking around these obvious facts because they're uncomfortable and inconvenient. And of course, the pandemic, as you were saying, has really removed any illusion about the mentally ill people who are disturbed, are often unhoused, unsheltered, who are around the city and aren't receiving any care. And if you don't have the police rousting them and using Rikers Island, which they still do to some extent, but much less than previously, as like a de facto institution with no services or anything, but you're taking people off the street where they're not a danger to others, this seems to be the result. And some of these people seem to have fixated on Asians. There's more media attention for obvious reasons about attacks on Asians at the moment. But I do think that the core issue here is mental illness and deinstitutionalization 50 years later, longer.
New York's going to recover, Harry. We had moments over these last years where there wasn't obvious evidence of the recovery, but it is going to recover. Will the return to street life, the return to the what is called the vibrancy of the city, but really it's just rock and roll all the time. Everybody's rushing and the Starbucks are full and the office elevator is jammed at certain hours where you go to Starbucks. When that comes back, does that make everything here better? In other words, are we seeing the extreme version of the deterioration we've all struggled with this last year of being isolated?
I want to share your broader optimism here, but I'd point to a couple of things. Like, office occupancy in Midtown is 10% of what it was. Yeah. I don't think it's ever going to recover to the level it had been at. Shootings are up in current recent weeks, you know, 100% over a year ago. There's been a dramatic increase there. And there's this idea that the things will get back to normal. And, you know, we've just been knocked out of an orbit and we'll get back into one. And I'm sure we will, but I think it's going to be a very different orbit. And I'm not sure that the new normal is going to entirely resemble the old normal. And so people have been fighting against gentrification and over-policing for decades, with some reason are going to have to adjust it to some other realities about maybe some prices going down and tax revenue and support for government services going down with that. And I suspect a higher level of violent crime than we've gotten to normalize over the past 25 years progressively.
You mentioned in your column a wave of attacks against Orthodox Jews. I hadn't forgotten it, but it's part of a larger pattern of anti-Semitism. Has that abated, or is that still ongoing? It's just not getting the attention in the headlines.
I think it's a mixture of the two, as ever. It's a really big city. And it just takes a handful of adult people to make things feel a little out of whack if you're attacked or aware of those attacks. And what happens is, I think, when there's some increase in these attacks, and particularly when there's a racial or ethnic or religious orientation of that, that the press starts plugging in on them, and then they report every random thing that happens. And since you're not reading about it the rest of the time, it feels like an even larger change than, in fact, it is. Since the normal background violence that you wouldn't read about suddenly becomes newsworthy at the same time that there's overall more of that violence.
There's a mayoral race on. We need to make everybody in the United States aware of the fact that there's always politics in New York, but particularly when there's a large field seeking seeking City Hall this year, and there'll be a new mayor soon enough. Is that driving this attention because it's a hook to explain who's at fault? In your case, you mentioned Scott Stringer blames Trump, who used to be president. So is the mayoralty race encouraging these sorts of generalities?
Well, Scott Stringer was just trying to dodge my question about what the police can or should be doing about this. And so he just ignored that, blamed Trump, and said, you know, the police are a problem and we need to fix them. Which I didn't think was a satisfying answer, but he's not the only one saying that. He was just the only one I happened to be interviewing that week and thus caught with making that dodge. This has been useful in certain ways for Andrew Yang because he's the first Asian candidate to be leading in a citywide race we've ever had. And consequently, having an issue affecting that community helps with his profile at a moment when he's already dominated the press, but I don't think that this has mostly been played for politics. To the contrary, I think politicians have been afraid to engage too much again because the answers are inconvenient.
Harry Siegel is a columnist for the New York Daily News. He's also the op-ed editor at the Daily Beast. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.